Welcome to Live Courageously podcast show number 93. I'm your host, John Duffy, and Live Courageously has been the conscious theme of my life for the last 4+ years since the beginning of the pandemic in 2020. And it's also been an unconscious theme of all my life. Courage is resistance to fear, mastery of fear. There's something contagious about someone who is courageous. Today's show is with a courageous and talented new friend, Simone Fairchild. And Simone is a founder of IONDV, an organization whose mission is to eradicate domestic violence and is dedicated to bringing your light into the darkness. Simone hails from the Washington, D.C. area and was raised in the martial arts, becoming a master of Northern Shaolin Kung Fu and finding her way through and beyond childhood trauma on her own as a kid, and combined with martial arts as a way of life, she developed an unyielding entrepreneurial spirit coursing through her veins, which affords her a pick yourself up by your bootstraps, bootstraps type of tenacity. What has been written on her heart and soul, though, aside from God, the source of all things in the universe and her son, is acting. As a result of the journey thriving post domestic abuse, she has come to understand exactly what her gifts are and why she has them. She was gifted in acting to breathe the light of truth to her characters. She was gifted in writing to bring forth the ultimate truth to the word. She was gifted in directing to bring forth the ultimate most visionary truth. And she was gifted in producing to bring together all the people and resources that are meant to be pieces of the puzzle. All in all, she was meant to fully imagine the world the way it was meant to be and create it, giving humankind a vision of what already rests on their heart and souls and showing them a way to create what they hunger for themselves. Simone has come to allow herself to lean in permanently to her inner light, her inner destined strength, and she will never yield from that. As a result of this journey, she has come to understand that she is meant to create what truth looks like to the world, and that is her destiny. Wow, what a powerful statement of her mission and vision, isn't that? Yikes. Greetings, Simone. Thank you for joining me on Live Courageously.
Thank you for having me, John.
Well, that's a lot. we got a lot to talk about. And, you know, just summing up your experience, your bio, your vision, your passion, all that in a little quick introduction to the audience. But I usually like to kick off the show with two questions. And the first one is, how did we meet? Because almost all the people I've had on my show so far are people that I've met in the real world, not just on social media, but actual real people in the real world. So how did we meet?
We met through an event at Mindatorium.
Yes. And, what brought you to Mindatorium? So, and we'll talk a little bit about what that is and why that kind of connects us at the moment. But what brought you to that event?
One of the executives, Karen Olson Hall, who is just absolute my heart, and she is one of the most beautiful souls that there are on the planet. She is a dear, dear friend of mine, and she has been really looking out for me, opening doors for me, bringing me into spaces and meeting people that will help me move along in my journey. And she introduced me to Mindatorium.
Well, that's cool. I remember, that night when we met, it was a screening of Mindatorium, and I've been involved on the executive committee of Mindatorium for a while with Henry Morales when he started his journey, when he wrote his first memoir that turned into a movie, and I kind of helped him on one of his first movies. But what I remember about that night was, that's one of the reasons why I'm having you on the show, was when we started talking, I felt a couple of things. One, I felt your energy, your charisma, and your this aura of positivity about you. You just had this, light that you brought into the darkness. You just came with that. And, it was impressive. And then I got to ask you what your story was. And then you started telling me little pieces of your story. And then you started telling me the martial arts piece. And that kind of blew me away. Mm-hmm. So, we're going to get into that because I also studied Kung Fu for 2 years. I didn't go as far and was not as accomplished with it as you were and mm-hmm. are. But it impressed the hell out of me, I have to say. So it was a great connection. And that's kind of the reason I think wanting to have you on the show. Mm-hmm. With that, I want to ask you, in your opinion, because you've lived this kind of an amazing life, what do you say living courageously means to you? What does that those words mean to you?
Living courageously means braving the landmines, facing the unknown, dealing with the ups and downs of life, not retreating, not yielding, also reaching out, reaching back, lifting up others, reaching within and dealing with the inner child, reaching within and processing any traumas, any darkness, anything that you might find within, processing that, applying that new growth that you will have as a result of processing those things to lead you through your journey and give you the courage, now that you have all this knowledge about yourself, using that to give you the courage to achieve your goals, live your mission. Like, living courageously means living your mission, understanding what your mission is, but living it.
Well, you just summed up a lot of important life lessons right there in that first statement you just made, and you summed lessons about what your mission is and some of what that means. But tell the audience a little bit about your experience, because you came from, you went through that and you came out with these kind of insights and this kind of purpose. Not everybody does. A lot of people go through the trauma. A lot of people go through, you know, all that and don't come out, or not able to come out, or not given that the vision that you have, that you've been able to create. And so take us back. Take us on your journey about, you know, having grown up, the stuff you went through, and then how you overcame, because that's the other side. You could have got stuck. You could have stayed in that, but you overcame and you drew this incredible lessons. So why don't you take us through that story, if you don't mind?
Well, it's interesting how that story, how that journey happens, because it, in a way, chronologically, it starts in my childhood, but the awareness of it all starts 10 years ago.
Okay.
As you mentioned, I am a survivor post-domestic abuse. And in my effort to understand the what and the why and the how, and just how did I get here? What happened? Why is he like this? Like, it just boggled my mind at the time. And I'm the type of person, I am a research buff. I have to understand the why of whatever it is that I'm dealing with. And in my quest to understand why he was the way he was and how I got into this situation, I dove down the rabbit hole looking for the answers to both of those questions. But at the time, as I was healing from my domestic situation, I was also introduced to God while I was with him. So that was the greatest blessing, other than my son, that I could have ever had. Because as I was processing my trauma, I was also running after God like my hair was on fire. And I tend to say that a lot over the past few years.
And with that beautiful hair, yes, that it really, it does fit that statement. We can visually see it.
So as I was going through that journey to try to figure that out, going down that rabbit hole to figure out him, I think maybe took a sidestep, because I understood that I also had to figure out me. How did I get here? And in healing, working with different counselors, doing my own research, working with different organizations, I started to have to go back in time to understand what led me to this situation. And it got all the way back to my childhood. And in figuring out where I was with God going this way. So at the same time, I'm going backwards and figuring out my childhood backwards chronologically. And now also the other half of me is moving forward with my understanding of God. But it was actually flipped over on itself. And then I started to understand why the things happened in my childhood. I was molested in my childhood. And that situation was never remedied. There was no justice. There was no police. There was none of that. So I would say I've been pretty much trying to figure things out in life since I was very, very, very young. And I was, because I had to be in that survival mode as a child and figure things out and find my way, I came to understand that looking back, I was equipped with the tools to be able to not only survive, but to thrive. That was etched into my DNA. It was etched into my brain and my heart and my soul. And the more I understood about who I was spiritually, the more I came to understand that I was put on the planet to experience everything I had experienced, trauma and all, from the beginning, because I was meant to be sitting right here, right now, having built my entire empire, having met you, having being brought into my mindatorium. I was meant to be here, and I was meant to go through childhood trauma. I was meant to have, I was meant to be raised in a household where was, I was basically raised as a boy, to be quite honest with you. I grew up in the martial arts, and it's a very, very masculine industry. And I'm not a tiny person. So, and I was a fighter. So I was really good at the sparring, and it got to the point where I was so good that I couldn't spar with women anymore. I had to spar with men, and that gave me the confidence. But I was also a very soft-spoken young lady. So I was given the trauma, but I was also given the tools moving forward.
There's so much to unpack there, because like you said, there was the stuff you went through as a child, and then you actually, 10 years ago, you started this journey of going back and dealing with that and healing that and understanding it, and then also going forward and doing that as well at the same time. But going back, like you said, I mean, you know, going through martial arts like you did, it gave you certain strengths. It didn't heal the trauma, all of it didn't address it. That came later when you addressed it in later in life. But what would you say that gave you as strengths as a person? What did you take away from that? I mean, you kind of addressed a little bit of it, but what did that do for your life and for who you are today to be that person that could get up there and fight? But more than fighting, it's more what was behind it, the understanding, the philosophy, because the fighting's a small little piece of that thing. Yeah. If you don't have the right mindset, the fighting ain't everything. That's, you know, bottom line, right? But tell us about that. Tell the audience a little bit about that.
Yeah, I'm glad you switched it around into the philosophical aspect of it, because my sister and I, we were raised in the art of it. Yes, you did the sparring and the forms and the weapons and the this and that. But what was most important was the centeredness and the groundedness and the awareness and the mindset and the fighting for others before yourself, looking out for others before yourself. That, I would say, became a part of my personality. It formed my mindset. And when you are filled with philosophies such as those as a child, it really does bubble over into your energy. It bubbles over into who you are as a person, how you conduct yourselves in any room. Like it develops into an unspoken confidence that you have in your actions, in your words, in your mannerisms. That I'm the type of woman who I don't need to be walked to my car. I have experiences in Hollywood, just like other women have experiences in Hollywood, that are absolutely awful. But I have an awareness in regards to, I know what people to deal with and not to deal with. I know not to go to a producer's hotel for dinner. Like there's a certain awareness that has been built up into me in regards to the philosophical aspect of the martial arts. It's just a knowing. And what people don't understand with martial arts too, with certain art is that it's based in the divine. It's based in Buddhism. So there is really like a spiritual aspect of it that gives you a certain confidence and a certain energy and a certain mindset that never goes away.
You're so right. I mean, you know, I remember that night when we first met and we were talking about some of the martial arts stuff and your particular thing and the fact that you took, you know, and are skilled in Northern Shaolin. And I studied Northern and Southern Shaolin when I was a high school dropout. I was 16 years old and I studied it for 2 years and I became a junior instructor and then I got injured. But the important thing, like you're saying, what it left me with a lifetime of all those things you're saying. You know, at 17 years old, I was a kid on the street, but I had confidence. I had a mindset and it was about, I knew how to survive. I knew how to protect myself, but I knew how to help others. It gave me that belief systems about, you know, what you do and how you do it in life. And I carried it for a lifetime. I mean, I think it was one of the biggest impacts in developing who I am and developing my life. If I didn't have those 2 years, you know, obviously I would have turned out differently, who knows how, but it gave me that. And that's what you're saying. You did it for a lot longer, but it's that understanding that that's what gets us through life, overcoming challenges, obstacles, all the stuff that life will throw at us. Mm-hmm. Some of it, we don't want it thrown at us. It's like, that's the last thing we want.
Right.
But we have to deal with it because it's there. Mm-hmm. And so it seems like you had that, at least that was something that carried you, gave you the strengths in so many areas of your life. And am I wrong in suggesting that?
Oh, you're absolutely correct. It gives you a grit.
It's a good word.
Yeah, it gives you a grit. And it also, I don't know if this was the martial arts or if this is just who I am. I have this, I'm able to ground during like a tornado. Like I'm able to ground in the unknown. I'm able to center myself when I am in a space that is completely dark, completely unknown, like healing from the domestic abuse, healing from domestic violence. There are so many people, men, women, children, that don't manage to get out. On average, it takes an abused individual 7 times to be able to leave a situation, to be able to leave an abusive relationship. Wow. Once I figured out what was happening and that it was never going to change, it was as if a light switch went off in my head. I said, yeah, I'm not dealing with this the rest of my life. It's absolutely no way in the world. And I'm a parent and it's my job to be able to make sure that this little person is going to have the best chance in life. So, and I was gifted with that responsibility. So what type of parent would I be? What type of mother, especially, would I be if I stay here? It was unfathomable to me to stay. No matter what it was going to look like on the outside, because I had no idea where we were going, what was going to happen. I had no idea, but I did know that we weren't staying. I didn't know we weren't saying.
But you had, and you just addressed it, and for people who've never experienced it or don't, you know, like in on a personal level, you know, the understanding, sometimes people don't understand why, say, in a case of a female getting out of a domestic abuse situation, but it can be a male as well, could be abused, but most of the time more females than men are abused, is, like you said, it takes 7 times. And a lot of times people can't understand. It's like, well, if it's so bad, why don't you just leave? As if like it's easy, but it's not easy. It's right. So hard. And then you don't, because you're going into the unknown and you have nothing and you don't know how to survive. And you have, so in your case, you had all these internal strengths and a mindset that, and like you just addressed, being a mother and putting that focus, just as my responsibility, that gave you some amazing strength that isn't easy to get. You know, people think it's easy. Well, you just, you know, leave. Well, yeah, it's not that easy. It's freaking hard. And I think you know that because you went on to do, you know, counseling and all the stuff that you've done with other people as well. But tell people about that too, because I think sometimes people don't understand, you know, domestic abuse is, it's very hard to get out of.
Mm-hmm. there are so many aspects in our world that make it difficult for people who are, sorry, my lighting is messing up, that make it difficult for survivors to be able to leave. Number one, the abuser will have manipulated the abused to believe that there is no help out there, no one cares, no one loves them, and the only person that's ever going to be there for them is their abuser. And so when you keep hearing that over and over and over and over, and you feel absolutely, you're made to feel absolutely powerless in your home as an adult, as a spouse, as a parent, then it starts to wear at your sense of self. It starts to literally psychologically wear down your sense of self. And you become so tired and so exhausted that even if you did manage to get out, how are you going to sustain? It causes such a drain on your psyche, on your psychological mindset, that you just can't see beyond the situation that you're in. And if you're managing to survive within where you are, then a lot believe that I'm surviving. And right, because our society is meant for people to survive, not to thrive, then what would reality look like outside once I get out there and I don't have any resources? I'm been made to believe that there is no help for me. How am I going to get home? How am I going to feed myself? How am I going to work if I've been told day in and day out, there's no help for me, there's no love for me, I'm good for nothing, I can't do anything, I'm not beautiful, I have no brain. Like, you've been manipulated by the one person on the planet that is supposed to care for you and love for you. And if that person is feeding all this information into you, it really does ruin the human psyche.
It does.
And that's just one example.
Sure.
You know? So.
And then, like you said, your survival is, for a lot of people, survival is what we're dealing with or could be dealing with. And to go from survival surviving to thriving, I mean, mm-hmm. I know that's part of your purpose and mission, is understanding that that's where we should be, is in a thriving mode, not in a surviving mode. Mm-hmm. And, you have to get there by taking actions and believing certain things and finding the courage to be able to go from the place where you're kind of trapped, whether it's in domestic abuse or economic trapped or whatever that trap is. You got to get out of that and move forward to get to thriving, because that's where you're going to succeed. That's where you're going to grow. That's where you're going to have a fuller, better life if you get to that place.
Right.
So that's what you did. And well, tell us a little bit, if you don't mind, you also created, ION DV, which is basically ION Domestic Violence. Mm-hmm. And you began to, not only did you overcome personally, which took amazing courage and resilience, but then you took that mission and that message to others. And mm-hmm. if you want to share a little bit about that journey and why you did that and what that meant to both others and to yourself.
Oh my gosh. Just hearing you talk about it is getting me like choked up. ION DV. I started ION DV during the pandemic.
Okay.
And my son and I were actually homeless at the time. Mm. We were living with a friend and his mother, and they gave us their attic. And a friend of mine had given me I'm just going back to how I started it and how I felt. Mm. Oh my gosh. So a friend of mine who was a member of my church at the time, she had a Apple desktop computer just sitting in her garage she wasn't using. She gifted that to me. And without that, I wouldn't have been able to conduct the interviews.
Wow.
And something in me, when I'm driven to do something, I'm compelled to do it. I can't not do it. And come to find out, that light, that drive I was born with. I've had that my entire life. And I've always been compelled to help other people ever since I was a child. And when I came to understand that someone has got to do something about this problem, society's not going to do it. So somebody's got to do it. So I guess it was Simone's job to do it. So, okay, this is what we're going to do. We're going to set up the computer. And I knew that I was going to create a safe space for other survivors, other current victims, if they were currently in their situation, to be able to just come and speak their truth. And that was it. It was going to be at that point. I remember sitting at the computer and doing my first few interviews. I was so scared. I was so nervous that I could hear my heart beating in my ears. I was sweating, and I was like, okay, I knew I had to do it. I knew I had to do it. So I pushed myself beyond my fear each and every time. And the more I did that, the more people came to me wanting to share their stories. To this day, not one person have I had to go out and find to tell their story. They've all come to me. So if you shine your light, it'll come to you. I conducted, I think to this day, 28 or so interviews, including survivors, including professionals who work in the domestic violence space, some psychologists, counselors. Eventually, I got into the political space. I was working with Los Angeles County Domestic Violence Council, and they have quite a few different committees that have some sort of effect on or aspect in domestic abuse. And in all of my study, I came to understand that there are two aspects of domestic abuse that need to be addressed if it's going to be eradicated. Number one, the public needs to understand the root of it, the cause of it, the seed of it. How does it happen, and why is it allowed to continue? And then two, we must change the laws by which society operates. Because I found just by myself, but also talking to other survivors and dealing with those who manage to get their case to court, whether it be criminal court or civil court or family court, the court only sees domestic violence as this. The same way society kind of sees it. Although society sees a little bit more of it, there's so much more to domestic abuse than our laws will acknowledge. And here we go again with, okay, so I guess Simone's got to do it. So in going through my study, listening to other survivors, listening to other victims, listening to professionals, continuing in my journey, coming to understand through spirituality that we are all meant to thrive, every last one of us. Now, individually, it might look different. Someone might, their story, their thriving story might be that they're the greatest parent in the world. Another person's thriving story might be that they're an astronaut. Whatever it is, we're all meant to thrive. And in my divine journey, I've come to understand that we are all equipped with the exact same tools. We all have a soul, spirit, mind, heart, and a body. And because we are all equipped with those things, we are actually all equipped to thrive. Everyone is equipped to be able to do what you're doing, what I'm doing, but in their own way. And all they need is a hand up. All they need is something to believe in. All they need is to be reminded of who they really are and what they're meant to be and a way to get there. That's it. And that's what IONDV is meant to do. It's meant to uncover the truth of the seed, uncover the truth of how it can be permanently changed, and inspire people to live their lives thriving. Period.
That's a whole lot. You summed up a whole lot. I just want to have people take a quick look at all the things you're doing, because we're going to go forward in a minute and we're going to go into all the new stuff you're doing. But I also do want to just take a moment to say, you know, you talked about how you were scared, you know, doing these interviews, and you overcame the fear, and you at first you were like, and I think that's the thing that people sometimes don't see, because like when I met you, that's the last thing I would have ever thought about you as somebody who was going to be afraid to have an interview, because that wasn't your energy. That wasn't, isn't who you are. But we all have that, and that's sometimes people see us one way, but they don't realize we didn't get here just magically. You had to go through stuff, right?
Right.
And you went through stuff. You went through that overcoming fear to speak and to be interviewed and to do all that, you know. But if somebody meets you, they would never think that you were afraid. I didn't, but you know, it's that piece. But I want to share this your page and tell people to take a look at it. But let me just get it up here, and where is it? There we go. And I'll put it up on the thing, and then I'm gonna just get rid of that. And I think I have it up here, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I'm just gonna share it so I can get it fully for the field view. So this is you can go to her website, SimoneFairchild.com, and you'll see this is a little bit of just all the things that she's doing. This is a press and media page, interviews, Shout Out LA, I Will Change the World, being interviewed on ABC 7, her videos on ION DV, which is like a 52-minute video that's worth watching for sure. Other interviews, New Scene Magazine, Woman in the Arena, which is a great, and I love that picture. It's just, you know, that whole thing about being in the arena, not being in a critic and being in the arena, that concept, you know, that's great. Here's some other, her podcast, The Hero Within podcast. And that's the woman you mentioned, Karen, who's a dear friend. And so I would just recommend people to go to Simone Fairchild and take a look at your website, look at what you're doing. And then we're going to go a little bit further and talk about all the stuff that you're doing now, as well as the stuff that you were doing before. So that's going to bring us back to right here. Anyway, I just wanted people to see that, because there's so much you're doing now, both as an actress, as a writer, as a producer, and as you put it, as a budding director. So all those different new aspects of yourself. And that's kind of what brought us into Mindatorium, because it's a group that is about inspiration, transformation, motivation, and it puts up videos, movies, short movies, music, and it's kind of like a Netflix of sorts, but with a positive twist, with a motivational twist, with an inspirational twist that inspires people. And that's what part of what we're trying to do with it, and you're part of that community with us, and you're also going to be being a creator of all this content as well. And so that's like another aspect of who you are. So share a little bit. We bounce around a little bit, but share a little bit about that journey, you know, because you went through martial arts, you went through trauma. Where did the actress thing show up? Where did the creative side show up? Share a little bit about that piece of yourself.
Yeah, it does seem kind of random when you think about my journey, but I actually, as a kid, I wanted to be either a veterinarian or a model. And so I was always following those things as a kid moving forward. And then once I got to college, I started modeling a little bit, and that was a lot of fun. But at one point I was cast in a play. And at that point I had shot two commercials and loved it. It was wonderful. And I was cast in a play. I was cast as the lead in a play. But at that point, I was bitten by the bug. You know how they say you're bitten by the acting bug? I was definitely bitten by the big acting bug. And one day I went home to my parents and I said, guess what? I'm moving to LA. I remember my dad, he just kind of smiled because he's the artist of the couple. And my mom was like, no, you're going to veterinary school, and that's all there is to be that's all there is to be said about it. And you know, in our household, we were very respectful of our parents. I didn't talk back to my parents. Like, I wasn't rebellious. And this was the first time ever where I had to say, no, I'm moving. So I moved to LA with two duffel bags and $400.
And how old were you at the time? And
oh gosh, how old was I?
In your 20s?
Yeah, I was in my 20s. Mm-hmm. Okay. I was in my 20s and I wasn't scared at all. I don't remember being scared at all.
I knew
what I was doing. I was 100% in it. I was confident in my choice 100%. And boy, am I glad I did it, because then that came in the entrepreneurial, like pull yourself up by the bootstraps mentality, because I hit the ground running. Like right. I didn't know. My dad made a connection for me. So the people that I stayed with were actually martial arts friends who had a home in Huntington Beach. So I was a little spoiled in that regard, because I had a full guest room in Huntington Beach. Very nice. Wow.
Okay.
But then from there, where did I go? I bounced around quite a bit, like creators do in Hollywood. But I was learning my craft. I was networking like crazy. I was doing background work. I was on it all day, every day. And to this day, there are relationships that I still have that I made then. Eventually, I made it to, Expressions Unlimited, acting coaches in Sherman Oaks. Okay. And Bobby Chance was my acting coach. And she saw something in me. She saw the light in me that I knew it was there, but I didn't know how to get it out. And she brought it out in me. She brought Simone to the surface. And
here's some pictures, just some different headshot pictures of you. But keep going with that, with that conversation about Bobby Chance. And
So on Saturdays was her expression session, where she taught people to bring the walls down and learn how to emote. And there was an exercise where she had all the actors on stage and she paired us all up. And the exercise was to the person standing opposite you was that one person that wronged you like the worst. That one person that is just holding you back. Whatever it is that's inside, let it out. And boy, did the floodgates open. Like that's the only time that I can remember I was so deep in character that I didn't even hear cut. Like the tears were flowing, the nose was running. By the time I snapped out of it, everybody around me was just like looking at me like, hello. Well, but ever since then, though, it's just been, there's nothing, there's no role, it's that acting is my gift. It is a gift, and I channel. You know how the vast majority of actors, they'll pound those lines and they'll memorize them. Sure. And they get on set and they know them and they hear action and they let it go. But to me, acting and becoming are two different things. Mm. There are certain actors that you see that become, like Daniel Day-Lewis and Jamie Foxx and Robert Downey Jr. Goodness, Robert Downey Jr. and Tropic Thunder. He was more of a Black person than a Black person. I'm like, but I understood it. I understood because he becomes.
Right.
And that goes back to the hope and the faith that you pull from within, and you just free fall. It's like that trust exercise where you fall back into someone's arms, having no idea whether they're there. You have to have the faith enough to fall into the world of your character, knowing that God, the source of all things in the universe, is your life jacket. And that source will pull you out if need be. There's nothing like it in the world for me.
I hear you. I think, you know, that's not true of all actors and not true of a lot of people who act. Mm-hmm. I think, you know, the ones who have that gift, or that's who they are, you know, and do that. It's very special. I have a dear friend who's originally from Trinidad. Mm-hmm. And I just took him a couple of weeks ago. I gave him a walking tour of Skid Row to give him, because he was going to do a part of a homeless guy. And he's someone who throws himself into stuff and it hits him emotionally. And so I took him through all the encampments down in Skid Row and everything. And it just, you could see him absorbing, watching the people, just seeing what they're going through, the suffering, the, you know, living out on the streets and all that. And, you know, I mean, he's had a tough life. He grew up in a poor nation, Trinidad. It wasn't like he was a rich kid or anything. But to, you know, see him take it on and then seeing pieces of what he did in the movie that he worked in, you go, yeah, he's like you. I mean, it's like, it's 100% commitment. He's there. He's 100% there. And it's impressive to watch. But keep going with you. I mean, so you do this acting, you do the Bobby Chance, you start to, this is who you are. But, and I say, but, I always, when you say, but, it validates this thing before, but it doesn't in this case. What I mean is, and, not but, and you add into it the other stuff, writing and producing, and then at some point directing, because you have this giant vision of what you want to be and share and accomplish. Share that vision with us. Tell us a little bit about that pieces of your, the other sides of you.
Okay. I've been writing since I was a child. It was my outlet. And when I was in my domestically abusive situation, that kicked in again. Mm. At the time, I was introduced to a film and television executive, and she became a dear friend of mine. And she knew what was going on in the household. And she suggested that I take a film writing course. And it was a 12 or 15 week or so condensed writing course. And I wrote my first project during that entire time. And I think I was the only person in the class that managed to finish what they were writing. You could either write a feature, you could write an episodic, you can start a book, whatever it is that was on your heart to write, you could write. Mm-hmm. And what my idea could have been either an episodic or a film, but the gentleman who was teaching the class, and his name is escaping me at the moment, it was the writer's boot camp in Santa Monica.
Okay. It's funny. I attended that when I first moved to California from New York.
No way. Yeah.
That's wild.
Really good. I really, really enjoyed it. It was difficult because there was so much information condensed down into the 12 or 15 weeks. But I love stuff like that. I love the challenge. And I wrote my first project there. It was an action espionage feature film. And to this day, it is my favorite project.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah. So it's that installment. It's a feature franchise. So it's the first installment. All in all, I have about, I would say, 25 or so projects in my library between features, episodics, animation. I've got a book in there. I've got docuseries, a reality series. I'm in pre-production for my own, my documentary that I'm going to be directing. It's called Lean Into Fear. And it deals with the seed of domestic abuse, how abuse and trauma is allowed to continue within society. And then the last act is about, you know, how you thrive and why you should thrive. So I have my entire empire. It's vast, but it all makes sense. I understand the strategy. I understand I'm going to be layering certain things. I'm going to be launching my own production company at the end of the year. So I've got a plan and it's happening.
Well, haven't had a chance to spend a little time with you at a couple of events. I have no doubt of your ability to pull these things off with the energy that you have and the belief that you have. I remember asking you one evening, you know, what some of the genre that you're talking about. And you mentioned the one that you love the most right now on the show. But is action espionage. Mm. And, you know, I mean, I didn't know what you were going to say. I mean, you know, it could have been anything. But that apparently that's something that you really enjoy is those kind of projects. And that's the projects that you want to create and both write and produce. So tell us a little bit about that little, why that, you know, what about that lights you up?
It definitely stems from the martial arts in my background. It definitely stems from there. And I've always been the type of person where I've been rooting and sticking up for and fighting for people that need help. My dad would always say that you're always bringing stray cats home. And meaning I would befriend the kids who were being bullied at school that needed friends, that needed love, that just need to be cared for. And that has grown and morphed and morphed and grown since I've become an adult. So when you combine the love of action and the martial arts and the wanting, just the having the drive to be able to help people love and laugh and live their greatest self, then that it makes sense that I would absolutely love action espionage. I don't care what it is that comes on. If it's about the CIA or if it's about the FBI or it's about, like, I love the Bourne series. Can't get enough of that. And Mission Impossible, there was there was a series on Netflix called The Recruit. Incredible. Incredible. I love the sleek the style of 007 and being able to make global impact, I guess maybe behind the scenes or just really being able to help in a big way that is different from the norm or that's outside of the rules, that the vast majority of the rules don't help us anyway. They just control us, right? So I think that's why.
That's a good answer. And I'm just going to throw up a picture of you. I don't know what this is from, but it obviously fits a little bit into what you just talked about.
Yeah.
I don't know. That's probably from a project that you did.
Yep. I shot a pilot a few years ago where I was playing an assassin.
Oh, okay. So that fits into the whole thing. And so obviously within the world of fiction, whether it's feature or series, you know, you have that thing inside this documentary you're going to do, you know, the title and the message is, I think, really good just to take a minute on, which is lean into fear. Mm-hmm. That's such a, you know, just a couple of words, three words, but at the same time, what does that mean to lean into fear? Because most people, the message is run from fear, right? Get away from fear. But what is lean into fear and why is that the title of your documentary?
We have a misunderstanding of what fear, what the entire aspect of what fear is. Now, physical fear is when you're in the forest and there's a bear in front of you. Then yes, of course, right. Do what you do in order to survive.
Yes.
But when it comes to living your life, and life is meant to be a journey, you're supposed to grow from the moment you're born until the moment that it's time to go home. And in order to do that, you are going to have trials and tribulations. You are also meant to thrive. In order to thrive, you must push beyond your fear, either push beyond it or channel it or have it be the rocket fuel in your veins, like I've come to understand it is for me. But in order for you to get to the person you're meant to be, you must lean into that fear. That is where you get your strength from, your tenacity from, your fire from. That's where I get my dragon. I've got an inner dragon that's alive and kicking right now. So you lean into fear. That I chose that as the title for my documentary. And you know what? I don't think I chose it. It just came to me. I'm really good with titles for anything anyway, but there was just one day I was just sitting at my computer working on the proposal. And up until that point, it was untitled. And it just literally just popped into my mind, lean into fear. And I know how people think of the word fear, but we shouldn't think of it that way. We should, that leaning into your fear and facing it and using it as a tool, using it as your weapon to be your greatest self, that's the key. And that's what I want to change people's mindsets. I want to create a different understanding of what fear is and the fact that it's one of the greatest tools that you can use to become your greatest self.
Well, behind me on my bookcase, I have a hat that says Faith Over Fear. Mm-hmm. And I think that, you know, I know for myself, when I went through a major change in my life, I did a fire walk when I was much younger in New York with Tony Robbins, and walking across hot coals, it was a physical experience of walking across something that you can get burned in on your feet, but it was more a metaphor of how you have to face fear. You can either avoid it or you can walk through it. You can get to the other side. And, you know, that message is true, and lean into it or over, you know, walk through it, whatever that is. We have to face those fears, acknowledge them. Don't make like they don't exist, but that shouldn't stop you from going, like you said, to the point where you thrive. So that's kind of what you're doing with all of that. Tell me a little bit. We got a few more minutes or another 9 minutes or so, but I mean, there's so much to cover with you, but anything else, you know, you obviously you have all these, probably a lot more on your plate. I'm going to throw up some quick pictures while I'm talking, because you've been on some different, you know, here's a magazine, Women of Dignity, I believe it is, or?
It's Scars of Survival.
Scars of Survival. Okay, mm-hmm. Excellent. Mm-hmm. And that's just one. I'm going to just throw up another one. You know, here's another one behind the monitor. I guess you were acting in something there. Mm-hmm. Here's another one on a billboard up there. Was that in New York, that billboard?
That was actually downtown Atlanta.
Downtown Atlanta. Okay, excellent. Mm-hmm. And then what else? This is another one, I think, of you on set. Mm-hmm. And then here's another one as well. Getting ready to be interviewed. So I just want to throw up some of those pictures. So you've done a bunch of things. You keep doing stuff. You got this energy that's nonstop. Like when you described all the projects, I was like, wow, that's a lot of projects there. But yeah, you know, tell us what else would you want to share with the audience? Obviously, what means a lot to you is your son. As a mother, you have an incredible love and passion, and that's what got you through that deep thing and continues to drive you to be the best you can be as a parent. You have so many aspects to yourself. Tell us that anything else you want to share about, you know, for people, the lessons you learned in all these different aspects of your life.
Mm-hmm. If I can do it, anybody can do it. Mm. It's so frustrating for me, because sometimes I just want to take people by their shoulders and just shake them, you know, but you can't make them do anything. But just try. And it doesn't take for you to see the whole picture. It doesn't take for you to be perfect. It doesn't take for you to be your greatest self now. Just take one step at a time. And it doesn't, even if you don't know if you believe in a higher power, believe in yourself. Each and every person was put here in order to be their greatest selves. If you don't know what that is, jump back into your childhood and start from there. What did you want to be as a kid? Did you want to be a doctor? Did you want to be the best teacher in your small town? Start from there. And when you continue to unpack what it is within you, you'll eventually get to the point where you are now, and then move beyond there and move into what you want to be next year, in the next 5 years, what you want to accomplish by the time, you know, you become a grandparent. I just want to influence people to believe in themselves. And it doesn't have to be big. It just has to be one step. Just keep going. Just try. And I know it's scary. Just find people who believe in you. Find one person that believes in you. Find a hobby that you love. Write a book. Get a journal. Record just your thoughts on your phone. Just jump into you. and just, and because the light is within you, and what is within you needs to get out. What is within you blazes the trail to your greatest self. Just take the first step.
That's a great message, a great things to share with people and tell them. And just like you said, you know, like your dad said, you know, you were always bringing home cats. And, you know, the fact that that's purpose is a purpose that keeps going throughout your life. And I think, you know, for sometimes it, for people don't realize that what makes life really both good and valuable is to have a purpose, to have a mission that's bigger than us, that it's not about just us. You know, yeah, I mean, you know, there's things we want in our lives individually, but when we're out doing things for others and we're serving others, then our life gets better. It just gets better, and we're able to feel good about helping others. And we don't do it to get something back. We do it to do it. You know, you do it to be able to share your light, like you say, share your light with others. And you bring them some light in the darkness. If they're in a moment of darkness, well, you know, you be the light, you know, be the light that they need. And then they'll be the light for somebody else. And you know, it'll create that ripple effect in life where you just inspire them to go and do the same thing to others in life. So that's kind of what I see you've been doing, obviously, on so many different levels. And I just say I'm blessed. I mean, God has definitely always given me great people in my life and just keeps adding to it, you know, and everywhere I go, all of a sudden I meet another great human being like yourself. And I get to hear your story. And then it's like, oh God, I got to share this story with people because it's a great story. And it's a story of overcoming and bringing light to the world. And that's who you are. So I really enjoy it, but keep going as we wrap up. I still got a few more minutes, but I just, what else, you know, you want to share some projects? I put up your where people can go to contact you, whether it's for acting, for writing, for producing, for partner up with you. They can go to your website right here. And then they can obviously, you know, reach out through the contact thing on the website to reach out to you. What else would you want to tell us about the future for you, or, you know, anything is, that you would like to share with us?
Let's see. I want to share my Instagram. My Instagram is Eyondv, EYEONDV.
So it's EYEONDV. All right. And that's on, Instagram. All right. So they can go here. Let me see if I can put that up. I think I can. There we go. Eyondv on Instagram.
And my Facebook is Simone Fairchild. So that's my name.
Right.
And my TikTok is Simone Fairchild as well. I'm more active on TikTok. Okay. But in regards to what to look out for in the future, I'm going to be changing things. I plan on writing a book as well. That's a major, major, major overhauling, because it's not just going to be a book. I'm creating a new paradigm. And in creating that new paradigm, I also want it to be worked into the educational system. So I'm going to be creating a master's program on this new paradigm, a PhD program on this new paradigm. So that's going to come up further down the road once I get my production company up and going, because as you can imagine, that's going to take a lot of, you know, cognitive energy and a lot of time and space to create and to get going. What I'm most excited about is my production company. I can't wait, because my brain, my wheels are always going. Like, there's a reason why I have 25 projects, four of them being franchises. So there's a ton. And then there's the action sci-fi short that I want to talk to you about. So I cannot wait to get that going, also because I plan on layering my projects. And I want to layer my projects because in doing that, I'm going to be able to keep people working. I don't believe in the feast or famine aspect of Hollywood. I don't believe in that at all. I think that is worked into the system to keep people dependent on the system of Hollywood. If you keep people working, then they won't be dependent. So if I layer my projects to be one on top of the other, then my crew can just go from one project to the next, and they can continue to take care of themselves and their families and pour some of that energy that they would put towards trying to find the next gig, put that energy into creating their own thing or spending more time with their family and their friends and having a more full life. I want to make the world better. I want to make things better for people. There's no need for people to be so stressed out and scared and running around like with their hair on fire. There's really no need for that because we're meant to thrive. I want people to have better lives. And if I can do that, I've left the world a better place.
Well, I don't doubt that that's what you've been doing and will continue to do. I look forward to working with you. You know, people can... they'll check us out at Mindatorium. We'll be part of that community of one of many things that we do in our lives. That's just one piece. And I'm just going to throw that up real quick. And just basically people can check that out. And this is the website there. People can definitely check that out, Mindatorium. But besides that, I just think that, you know, there's a lot we're going to do. And so thank you so much for... Let me bring you back in there. Thank you so much for joining me on this show. Thank you. It was such a pleasure meeting you both the first time and then the second time and having a chance to have you come on and share your story and your mission and all the things you're going to be doing in the future. So I look forward to working with you on some of them or maybe others, you know, more of them. We'll see. But thank you so much, Simone. I appreciate it. You have a fantastic day.
Thank you so much. You too.
All right. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
All right. Well, let me just sum that up. I hope that today's show with Simone inspired you to lean into your fear, to go from surviving to thriving, and that, you know, her message is an inspiration. I think just listening to her, inspiration of what is possible when lean into the fear, overcome the fear, and begin to create that thriving life. So definitely live with passion, pursue your dreams. And if you haven't seen my previous 92 podcasts with some of my amazing, courageous friends sharing their powerful stories, go to live-courageously.com or my YouTube channel, Live Courageously, and you can check them out. And you can watch them every Wednesday when they go live at 6 p.m. And then also on Sunday, a repeat at 6 p.m. And then, of course, you can always go to YouTube and watch the recordings of them. So I hope you choose to live courageously, make your life a masterpiece, and God bless you until we meet next week.